And you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. Thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. The message this morning is going to be tied to the evening, and you need the evening to finish off the morning. That's assuming the Lord doesn't come. Now, in the light of that, Israel, we titled it Great Expectations. And Israel had an awesome position, as you know. And I want just to remind you, which you are familiar with, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. As you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, prized, privileged, personal, all of those words, treasure unto me. Above all people that are on, for all the earth is mine. So on everyone, of all the people and humans on earth, Israel, that group of people at the foot of Mount Sinai, are privileged above all the people of the world. Now, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses brought those words, and you know what they said. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, they were given an awesome, awesome, awesome position, privilege and place. What a privilege and place they had. Now, having said that, did they understand that? How great do you think they understood the greatness of what God had just said to them? God said something that's impossible, but God had made them, and they didn't see it. All they could say is, oh, we'll do it. They didn't even understand. Let me give it to you another way, a little head start. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God makes you a new creation. All things passed away, all things become new. That's awesomely great. Great anticipation. How many believers? I just quoted it a little bit. How many believers understand the greatness of that statement? That's what God did. The moment you get saved, Israel was made a prized, privileged people. In one moment, all they had to do was take it and just be expectant, anticipating the outworking of it. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. God has told us something far more stupendous, and the church hasn't done it. The believers haven't done it. No, that doesn't mean there aren't remnant, and it doesn't mean you guys. They just didn't do it. They didn't understand. It was for real. Really, 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 really real. They didn't believe it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, in your Bible to pick up. Israel was given very quickly. Do you need to get Israel clear? And is chapter 4 in Deuteronomy. And you would recall, you know these things, so I'm just going to do them quickly. Chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Israel was to be a testimony. Verse 6, chapter 4. Keep therefore and do them, God's word. For this is your wisdom and your understanding. What is? God's word, God's wonderful will, his wonderful privilege of making them a prized, privileged, personal, private possession. In the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. In other words, all the nations of the world are to take note, and they were to see something for real. They were to really, really, really see it. That's what they were to do, to see it. They weren't dreaming, they were going to look. In other words, all the nations are going to look at you, and you guys are one privileged people. You betcha. Now, in the light of that. And then, verse 7. For what nation is there so great, etc., who hath God so near unto them as unto the Lord, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So Israel's awesome, awesome, awesome position was not really enjoyed. They just it doesn't mean they weren't there. They certainly were there. They just didn't enjoy it. They just never had the privilege. So here they are there. Go with me, verse 10. What was the problem? The problem's going to be what? Verse 10. Especially this day, thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God, at Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto thee, gather me all the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Why do I want to hear God's word? That they may learn to fear me. They learn to fear me. You won't get it. We can talk to each other. We can have prize and wonderful statements we can make about everything. We can't move anybody like that. But when God says it, out of heaven, he's going to say it from Mount Sinai. I got to tell you, he that hath ears, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, having said that a little bit, as we fumble along, what's the problem? They learn to fear God. You are not born with a fear of God. You learn to fear God. And how much you've learned to fear God is the whole issue. How much do you learn to fear him? Hang on. Now, so having said that, over if I can, over to chapter 8. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Remember, Deuteronomy is given just before they cross the Jordan River after 40 years. And in chapter 8, Deuteronomy, may I pick up, please, just the movement of thought, verse 2. God is reminding them after these 38, 40 years, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and to prove, put thee on trial and test, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why are you doing all this, God? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You live by God and his word. That's how you live. God spoke and he created us in his wonderful word, by his word. Now therefore, they had all these 40 years to learn, to learn, to learn, to learn. Over, if you would, chapter 32. And in chapter 32, you will note, if I may, picking up, please, you catch the movement of it, in verse 19. 32 and 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorreth them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, verse 20, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward. Froward means to twist, to be crooked. Crooked. The opposite of being straight. Froward. Crooked. Twisted. They are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Faithfulness. They don't have any faith. They have no heart, Deuteronomy 5. All these years, the 40 years. And they're going to cross Jordan. And they have no faith. So don't expect a lot, will you? They're a great people, prized, privileged, above all people of the world. But they don't know it. And they never enjoy it. And it won't be. All individuals did. And in the kingdom, they will. But not yet. So now, in the light of that, in the light of all of those things, and so therefore, to pick up the movement and the thought, over to chapter 28, Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy in chapter 28 may pick up the thought, if I may. Remember now, I'm going to give it to, here's 28, 1 through 15. It's all about God being God, blessing them, making them the most special, privileged, prized people, having what is the benefit? God, the Creator, giving them, being to them, God. God is going to be God to them in the most wonderful way. And all the blessings. So when they come in, when they come out, and the blessing, as you know, verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What are you saying now? You honor God's word, and God will bless you. He'll bless you. And you don't have to say amen. The cursing, you've got to say amen, but not to the blessings. God said, my blessing will hunt you down like a lion hunting an antelope. I'm going to hunt you down and bless you. That's privilege. That's awesome. I have to look for it. No. You just have to honor me, he said. Wow. Now, and I'll be your God. Now, hang on. Over to verse 58. We were there the other day, remember? Keeping in mind last week. Verse 58. 28, 58. If thou wilt not observe, if you all of this is the negative. If you don't look to me, you're going to be from verse 15 and on. That's a lot of statements. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear, what's the whole point of the word? To fear me, to have a healthy, holy awe of my person and presence. God is awesome. And in his awesomeness, we ought to be awed. Awed by God. Awed by God. Hang on. Now, so therefore, fear. That's right. If you don't think I'm more than, you know, I can have this. And someone, if I am down there and go through the stop sign and someone shakes the finger at me, then I shouldn't have gone through it. But they did. That isn't quite too bad. And when the policeman's there and he shakes his finger, I pay a little more attention. I do. Now, if the Supreme Court, all nine, is it nine of them justices, whoever there are, if all of them were set there in the corner looking at me when I go through the stoplight, I want you to know the policeman owns one thing, but all nine justices looking at me, going through the stoplight. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. God said, I'm not a judge, I'm not a policeman, I'm God. And you ought to reverence me. Now, picking up, as you know, we did it wonderfully. The end of verse 5, this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord shall make thy plagues, pestilence and everything else, wonderful. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance, sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Now, and verse 61. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee till thou be destroyed. The CO2, whatever it is, virus, that isn't found in Genesis. That isn't found in the Bible. God said, I have all the ones I do and all the ones that aren't even named. I'm going to let them go. Now, either you're going to look to me when I do it, or you're going to totally, like we have done in this time, left him out. And we're all trying to mask and distance and sprays and everything, squirts and everything. We got all that stuff. We're trying to get the virus. Not looking to God. I think looking to God outweighs 35 feet apart. I think looking to God overrides, I could sit in the middle of the pool of virus and not get it in the will of God. Absolutely. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, I just want you to help us. God help us. Now, having said that a little bit, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 3. Moses had an awesome, wonderful understanding of God. And in Deuteronomy and chapter 3, picking up, please, if I may, wonderful statement. And picking up, if I can, verse 24. Well, no, let me do that a little differently. Verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, to make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Now, don't make anything like that. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So you don't want to go and proceed forward in the light of that. Over to chapter 3. God's a consuming fire. So we don't want to go against him, and we want to have an awe, a respect, and fear of him. Therefore, chapter 3, verse 24. O Lord God, this is Moses. Moses, are you excited about God? Absolutely. Now, where did you learn to get excited? I got excited at the burning bush. I had to get 80 years old. I had to wait and God was waited for me to get ready. And then he introduced me to himself at a burning bush. Do you know? And God told me to take the shoes off my feet because it was holy ground. Now, Moses, did you change and understand God's greatness? I did. So what, Moses? Tell me how it works. I'm going to go up and down Mount Sinai, up and down, up and down, up and down, or 10 times, whatever, up and down. I'm going to walk into the fire. Aren't you afraid? No, I'm anticipating. I am wonderfully expectant of God to be God. He was in the bush. I got the message. I'm not sitting there wondering whether he is or he isn't. I'm going to go and I'm going to come. God, you said, whatever you say, whatever you are, whatever you want, whatever you do, I'm coming. I'm coming. He was expectant. He had no a view of God. He had an awesome view. He enjoyed God. He believed God. That's the whole issue. You got to believe. So, in verse 24, O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Well, there's no one, God. There's no one. And God, so when you say something, is it, oh, I don't know. No, you don't do that. No, not anymore. Then what happened to Israel? Israel, remember, without turning there, Israel went, and they were right from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea in the north, and they went up, and they were to go in and take the land with chariots of iron and cities and giants and everything, overwhelming odds. And they were to go, and if you read, well, we'll take it. Why not keep you awake? Maybe. Over to Numbers chapter 13. And in the Numbers chapter 13, you'll pick up. Remember, Caleb and Joshua brought a report back of the 10, 2 out of 12. And in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And the people said, verse 31, and the men that went, there, the 10, and then all the people followed him. And the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And the odds and the problem and the disease and the conditions are overwhelming. But they aren't overwhelming to God. God doesn't have a problem with that. Otherwise, how could you be saved? When you're born dead in sins, how could you possibly be saved unless it's real? And God makes it happen. Now, hang on. It's a wonderful thing, God. So therefore, Israel just didn't do very well. And they went all the way down the line, and Israel's wonderful place and privilege and assignment has to wait to the kingdom when God comes and reigns for 1,000 years. Now, in the light of all of that, here's the church. And here we are at the end of the church age, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and on, and then Laodicea. We're at the end of the age. We aren't at the beginning. At the end of the age. Now, God, here we are looking to you, like Israel. Israel didn't do well. They ended up captivity, etc. And here they are over there now. Bless their heart. God has to help them. They're over there, and God helps them. That's right. But they aren't believing. Do they believe they're great? Do they believe? Are they enjoying God's marvelous grace? No. Nope. Nope. They're debating between the liberals and the orthodox and the conservatives, and they're all back and forth trying to figure everything out. Aha. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's the church, and we're in the age of grace approaching what's going to follow grace is the wrath of God. And in the process, we are assembled together to honor God's word. And keep in mind now, remember, you know all these things, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, Bill of Rights, First Amendment has to do that we have freedom of religion, that and they shall not prohibit. The word prohibit back in that day means forbid. They shall not forbid the exercise of religion. What does religion mean to them? It doesn't mean Protestant, Catholic, it doesn't mean that. Religion to them in that day meant the outward expression of worship. That's called religion. Not the inward heart, the outward expression of worship. Outward expression. And they shall not prohibit sitting like we are together or anywhere in whatever other occasion it would be to worship God. They can't. And if you want to know what goes right along with that, then they have a right to peacefully assemble in our country, which they have been doing a little bit, to show grievances. They go together. You have one, you have the other. And they get the First Amendment. Now, that's just nothing. Now, over if you would please, exercise. Over to the Gospel of Luke. God help us. Here we are looking, we're in the church age, and what kind of thing? Great expectations? Well, let's see. Great anticipation. Israel? Nope, they missed out. They just missed out. So here we are looking. And go with me to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, may pick up in thought. Luke chapter 5 and in verse, you'll pick it up in verse 20. Okay. And when they saw, now this is the people, and here's the man healed, palsy. And what did they do? Now did the Jews, he's in the room, all these people, full rooms full of people, buildings full of people, are they believing? Oh no, but they're in the presence of God in Christ. Now, note, please, as you do that, here we are in the presence of God, and they are they reverencing God? Are they fearing God? No, no. But you know what? There's a down the street here is a fellow that's been palsied and can't even walk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and he's caught, and he has friends, and they're encouraged. They're sitting there and saying, he's in that house. How are we going to get to him? I need to get to him. And here's his friends, the wonderful friends. And so they took him up quickly, you know, up to the roof and removed the tiles from the roof. And lo and behold, the people are all down below. And look up, here comes the daylight. And here comes this thing. Here comes the stretcher, lowered down, lowered down, lowered down. And what the fellow's laying there. The fellow's laying there, and he's there. And he's there. He said, I'm here, God. What are you looking for? I expect you can do something for me that no one else can. And he did. And he did. Who believed? A few rats up top, and that guy laying there, he believed, he didn't have any problem. God, if you want to, boy, you say it, and I'm healed. And he did. He did. And in verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven, etc. God forgave their sin, and he healed the man, as you know. Now God said, listen, what an awesome thing. I'm in these people. I'm giving them information. I could do anything for them. I've been healing them, feeding them, doing everything. And you know what? A guy coming down through the ceiling, wow. Wow, there's some faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Here he comes. Wow. Oh, what about the rest of you guys? No, no. But one did, and he had the benefit. Go with me, please, over. In the Gospel of Luke and chapter 7. And in chapter 7, here's the centurion, a Roman soldier with authority, etc. And he has a problem with family. He wants his son healed, et cetera, all that kind of thing. Servant healed. Servant healed. That's what he wants, his servant. Now, coming down, if I can, over to, go with me, please, in verse 8. And the centurion says, Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. You don't have to go anywhere, Lord. I want you to stay and do what you have to do, and as you want to do it, I just want you to give a little word for my servant down the road to heal him. Okay? Verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I give commands, and people jump and do them. Now, God, what do you know about the centurion? What do you know about this Lord Jesus? He speaks, he has authority, and it happens. Now, God, what about everybody else? A Roman centurion, a Gentile. Verse 20, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned to him and about him and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I look at a Gentile that simply gave me credit for who I am and believed me. But they don't. Expectation, anticipation. No, no. You're going to be a new creature? No, 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 no. Are you going to be seated? Ephesians 2. Right now, if you're saved, potentially in Christ, right now, you're there, even though you're here, you're seated. Do you believe that? We can't even see above the ceiling. God, look in the sky. Where? Where? God, seated. Where? Expectation. Anticipation for the reality. But we don't believe the reality. We're no different than not you guys, of course, girls. We don't believe like rest people. No, no one believes. We hear, we say stuff, but we don't believe. Come on. And then you expect God, the Christianity, the great Christianity. What's great about it? Without God, it isn't very great. Over to chapter 8. You remember our Lord's looking for what? Believe me. Have a fear of me, a faith in me. Believe I am. And here he is, he goes. And you look. You remember, illustrate, God tells you a little incident that he had happen. Verse 20, 22, 8 and 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over, up in the Sea of Galilee, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Okay, let's go to the other side of the lake. And the Lord said it, so you'd be pretty safe, you'd think. And he sent them out there to the lake. And then crossing the lake out there, lo and behold, a great big storm comes. When the storm comes, what's a storm do? Well, the storm in the sea, storms for the Sea of Galilee, when the storm break in different direction, when it comes down the mountain, like a snowball, like a landslide, and the storm, the winds, the whole storm rolls down the hill and smashes into the lake, and it gets all like this, the lake, when it rolls down like that. Wow, wow. Now, so therefore, God, you let him out there. He did. And by the way, verse 23, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. Now here's our rowboat, our little fishing boat out there. Here's our little fishing boat, and our fishing boat is got full of water. We're trying to bail the water out so we don't sink. Wow. Now God, where are you? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. Now, the guys could have kept bailing, and it would have been fine. But no, 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 no. And so he woke up. They got him awake, and they were in jeopardy. Verse 24, and they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing, we're perishing. They believed it. They're professional fishermen. And here's a storm that they didn't think they were going to get through. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he turned around and looked at them, and he said unto them, verse 25, where is your faith? Why weren't you believing me? I'm the one that told you to go out. Why didn't you believe me? And I'm sleeping. Now, why would you do that? Because you don't have any faith. You don't have any faith. You don't fear me. You don't have any faith. And you need to have that. I wish you had it. But we're in the middle of this crisis and that crisis and that problem and that problem, this and that and something else. But God said, I'm always with you. It looks like you're asleep, God. But God's never asleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps at all. He never does. God, I'm in his presence. That's awesome. It's wonderful, God. Now, over if you would please. Over, if in your Bible, over to over to Luke chapter 9. How did God answer and tell you about the crowd? Well, the people that he was trying to help for 3 1/3 years. Chapter 9, Luke, verse 41, in the light of healing and demonic possession and all of that. Verse 41. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you, bear with you? Bring the son hither, and God healed him. God was there. All they had to do was turn to God. The Lord Jesus didn't have to stand there physically. They were in the presence of God. They should have just turned to God, but they didn't. They didn't do it. Now, over if you would please, in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, picking up if I can. Oh, in chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Great expectations. Well, they should have had them, but they didn't. Chapter 17, picking up please. In verse, if I can. Remember the disciples had a need, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to move quickly to verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, they know that's without faith it's impossible to please him. That's right. But you have to believe. You have to give God credit that he is God. And he doesn't say things for nothing. He told you that in John 14. I wouldn't bother telling you in my Father's house are many abiding places if it were not so. Why would I bother telling you something? Reality is far more awesome and wonderful than make-believe. We can't even come up with make-believe that matches reality. And we're caught a little bit in the make-believe. Therefore, increase our faith. Now, oh God, that sounds good. Increase our faith. Now, next statement has to help us. Verse 5. Verse 6. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's very, 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 very small seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Help our faith. Help. We've got to get stronger and stronger. No. God said, why don't you use what you have? And if you had the little drop, and you truly looked to me for my will, for my glory and honor, I would take the tree and move it. Because you believe me. You believe me. If you just increase our faith, make me great, make me like Joshua or Samson or David or... No. God said, why don't you just do what you can do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, chapter 18. And you'll recall we were there the other day. And in chapter 18, picking up in thought, if I may, And remember now the looking, and he says, in the light of the coming to need and help them in distress. In verse 6, 18 and 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God said, I'm going to fix everything. Don't worry about it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll take care of things in the right time and the right order. Don't worry about it. Nevertheless, verse 8. Nevertheless, in the meantime, things are what they are and be what they be. They'll be what they be, what they'll be. Nevertheless, verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find, and the little word the goes in front of it, article the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. The believer is to believe the body of truth that is to believed, which is the Bible. Faith in what God has said. Practice it. Now, having said that, and remember it's a rhetorical question, will I find people believing what I said? And the answer is no. When I come, will I find people believing? No. Will you take them if they're saved? Absolutely. Do they understand that they could be taken in a moment? No. No. Did they believe it? No. They did, but they didn't. They didn't. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Thessalonians. On your way to Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And, picking up if I may, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And, you remember, Israel is to be, for us, chapter 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all these things illustrating Israel, we did that a little bit in the beginning, their unbelief, etc. Now, all these things, verse 11, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So God, we have all, that's why we illustrate with Israel, because they preceded us, and we ought to learn from them. Now, having said that, verse 12, wherefore, if you're going to learn from them, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, no, we believe, we're Christians, we do this, we do that. You better read Israel again. Israel didn't do well. They really didn't believe. They had no faith, and they didn't fear me. So before you say, well, we're good, and we've got this, and we do that, and we're believers, and everything's hunky-dory. Count to 10, count to 1,000, and get down on your knees to be protected from your pride and your foolishness. You haven't learned a thing. That's why we have to go to Israel to learn. Do you understand? Flesh is only flesh. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Fear. We have all fears. Where do the fears come from? We did all these things recently. All these fears. Well, because we fear. And fear creates fear. And we're afraid. We're going to succeed, but we don't succeed. So therefore, we live in an illusion that it isn't going to work anyway. So we don't believe it. We're Christians, not you guys again. Christians and everything's, yeah, but we really don't believe. We aren't cultists, we aren't something else, we're Christians. Well, that's good, but what good's that? How do angels see us? Angels know good guys and bad guys. Angels know the good angels and the bad angels. They know who's saved. They know who's saved, they betcha. Now, so in the light of that, now verse 13. There hath no temptation, trial, test, putting to the proof, No temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. So, God is telling you to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, why are we going to have faith in what he has said? But why are we going to have faith in what he has said? Because God's going to fulfill what he said. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? Yes and amen. Where are they yes and amen? In your life, if you're saved. All those promises, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all those promises are real. Not in you, in your flesh, in Christ, in you. And God in you is there to make all of those promises for real. That's right. Wonderfully for real. So therefore, and God, but in the process, we're going to go through all kinds of things. Easy, hard, mumps, measles, flus, and everything else. We're going to have all of the different things. Hard, easy, wars, rumors of wars. We're going to have all of those things. But, all of it's common. Everyone else is the same thing. But that's not the issue. I don't worry about someone else got it. They got it, I may get it. So what? Now, but what do I know? I'm supposed to have faith in God. My expectation is that God has a wonderful plan for our life, and we ought to go and pursue it with zeal, anticipating, looking for it to happen. Why not? Who said it? God did. But, we aren't 25 feet apart. That isn't the issue. The issue is, God is God or is he in, or he isn't. Then let him be God, and let him outwork his wonderful will in your life, and give him some credit. That doesn't mean you don't take your medicine and do whatever you have to do within reason. It just means that you're trusting God. And all the other fears and frustrations don't come. So God, you're faithful, verse 13, who will not suffer you to be tempted, put to the test, above that you're able, but will with the temptations, putting to the test the proof, make a way of escape, you may be able to bear it. Now, God, you're going to get us through. Absolutely. Wow. You're going to do that. And God is faithful. Without turning there, you don't have to turn there, Timothy. When we fail God, God can never fail himself. Do you understand? God can never disappoint himself. Ever. A failure is on Israel's part, on the church's part, on the world's part, not on God's part. No, sir. God meant what he said and said what he means. Therefore, over, if you would, 1 Thessalonians. Now, remember Israel had all kinds of problems to educate them, but they didn't learn from them. So here's the Thessalonians, the early church, in the days of the early church. And the Thessalonians are there, and the Jerusalem's getting clobbered with persecution. The Thessalonica is in, Corinth is in southern Greece. Thessalonica is in northern Greece. And northern Greece has got persecution by the ton. They're being persecuted awesomely, like Jerusalem, only different up there by the Gentiles, etc. Now, having said that, what did they do? They believed God. I can't do it all, I just have to say it. They believed God, and their faith, they just believed God, just like you and me. We're just going to try to trust God and stumble through everything and sort of make it. And God, we aren't anything, but we're going to run. We're going to try to do it. And now what did the world do with the Thessalonians? They took note that their faith, I'll read it in verse, I can't read it too much, verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not say anything. In other words, your testimony is, people know you're for real. You guys are girls for real. You aren't make-believe. No, you're for real. What do you do with things that are for real? You don't know. You don't know what you do with them. They're real. Wow, if they're just false, then it's no problem. Hypocrites, that's no problem. But real, reality, well, I don't know what you do. Wow. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can, remember they're looking for the Lord's coming. Their faith, they're going to, in the midst of trial, what are they doing? I'll read it and have to close. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. For to wait, we're waiting, for the Son out from heaven, plurals, first, second, third heaven, God coming for us, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wow, hang on, over if we can. Chapter 5. And in verse 9, remember, without giving you all the wonderful context, etc. Chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, we aren't looking for the tribulation. We're looking for your soon coming that precedes the wrath of God. Now God, having said all of that, when we're all done, God, well, we read it hither and yon. Now, God, what are you going to say to the Thessalonians? What are you going to say to them? Verse 23. And the very God of peace set you apart wholly. I pray you, your whole spirit, your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, come. And then the next thing, verse 24. Faithful, God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will what? What? He's going to do it. Expectation, great expectation. No disappointments. No, sir. I'm either going to believe or I'm not. And if I'm going to believe, I'm going to enjoy the trip. If I'm not going to believe, I'm going to be half and half, and you can't be half and half. It doesn't work that way. And we're nominal Christians. We go once a week. We do this. We do that. That's wonderful. That's good. But that isn't what it's about. It's about you having an awesome life, a unique, privileged relationship to God, made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. It cost God dearly for me to say what I just said, what God has said, and it's for real. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and help us in this little bit. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. I thank you for just patience and grace. So deal with us. Keep us, God, in the midst of all death and disease and darkness. But God, we're smack dab in the middle of all of that, having your wonderful life. God, thank you. Thank you. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, may they receive you and rest, find their heart and soul locked on in your wonderful person. And our God, we're going to thank you for in all of this. Give safety, encouragement in every way, God. And we're going to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.